Next, IT specialist with the Division of Informatics Solutions and Operations and Public Health Informatics and Technology Program Office at CDC. She's also the project manager for MQF, and MQF is one of the testing tools that Rob alluded to in his presentation. So she's going to describe that testing tool and explain how it was developed and how it's supporting meaningful use. And also we are going to be doing her questions immediately after her presentation because, as we said earlier, she's double booked.
Thank you, Stuart. I'll be talking today about MQF tool. It's a pre-testing national CDC tool. In today's agenda, I will be talking about the overview, which is what is MQF and how a message is processed in MQF, benefits, what are the benefits of MQF, what messages we currently support in MQF, what's validation definition, and then we'll be followed with a demo, and next would be question answers. This definition is a mouthful, so basically it's a message quality framework. Tool is a flexible framework of services and utilities that we have designed to assist public health partners with preparing and communicating quality standards, electronic messages as defined by the applicable messaging vocabulary and programmatic standards. It's basically a pre-testing tool, and it is a very useful tool for the public health partners, as you will see in the next slides when I talk about. Some of the functionality that MQF has, it does structural and message constraint per defined message specification guides. Similarly, for vocabulary validation, again, it's defined per message specification guide. We also do FIN certification validation. And also this tool, when you see later on, when we do a demo, it's a great interface, and it's easy to use, and has dynamic instructions, so it guides you step-by-step what you need to do throughout the process. It's a unified portal to message and vocabulary standards. Here's a simple diagram that shows what actually happens in MQF. In order for a user to validate a message and test the message, the user would access the public site, which is MQF portal, and then select a message, which would be in your case an immunization message, and would select the structural and message constraint validation. Once the message is selected, you would click from the domain the submit button. And after the submit button is clicked, you will see all that in the demo. We will show all that. I'm just kind of setting the stage so that once you get to the demo, it's easier to follow through. So once the user clicks the submit button, you will see if there are any errors. If there are no errors, then the next thing you can do is vocabulary validation. And then you would select your vocabulary process, and then we make a call to FinVads to check your vocabulary validation, and the results are returned to the user. If there are any errors that can be shown in the report, you can print the report, you can email it, or you can save it to a file for later use. And we don't store any data on our servers for MQF. So when a sender sends a test message that can be loaded or cut and paste, or we provide some sample messages, that's all what we have in our system. We don't store any sender's messages. Some of the benefits of MQF are, it's a publicly hosted website, and there's no login required, so there is no hardware, software cost. We've already bared all that cost, so we pass it on free to our partners. No authentication is needed. Public health partners can test messages on-site, reducing dependency on other entities. What this means is that the senders can do pre-testing prior to involving their receiving partners. So it's very independent. You can, when you're ready to test a message, you can just go to the application and test it. Provide easy reporting of any errors, basis for decision support for laboratory reporting, healthcare quality evaluation, case detection, case notifications. Used also for certification support. It streamlines the testing and validation process. It's made our job very easy as we've added value to this tool and to CDC. Provides message validation to support meaningful use objective. This is one of our new initiatives that we have been supporting, and immunization falls under that. As you can see, how far we've come along from pre-tool MQF to post-MQF, we can already see that quality has increased because it's an automated tool, so it will provide same results each time you test a message. We've seen reduction in cost from the left, you can see that. Time, you can see already that we've seen reduction in time to test a message. Resources, we've already seen reduction in resources. So this has been a great tool for CDC to support our partners. Next slide talks about meaningful use, message specification supported. The current message specification supported for meaningful use are ELR, immunization, and syndromic surveillance. The next slide talks about immunization validation, which is basically we have message guides already supported based on what Rob mentioned in his presentation. It's already implemented in MQF. You can today go after the session into MQF and test it out. We're supporting standards 231, 251, and these are the two message types that we are supporting. We do three types of structural validation: segment-level validation, validation field-level validation, and component, subcomponent-level validation. I'm not going to go over in detail. You guys can look at that at your own comfort. Vocabulary validation is basically the only valid messages once structural and constrained messages have been successful. And basically in vocabulary validation, we verify that the vocabulary defined based on the message specification. And unexpected data element present in the message are ignored. So there are some rules that we have to follow for vocabulary validation. In this slide, we talk about integration with FinVADS. MQF provides vocabulary validation through FinVADS, which is a public health information network vocabulary access and distribution system, and it falls under our division, so it's one of the shared systems that we use. And it's a web-based enterprise vocabulary system for accessing, searching, and distributing vocabularies used within the public health domain. Interoperability with conformance profiles. One of the other benefits that we have on our MQF tool and functionality is conformance profiles. Contains the structural and constrained validation for the message, are developed based on the message specification. All message structures that are implemented in MQF are based on a message specification, whether it's immunization, whether it's case notification, or whether it's any type of message, HL7 message type. Are used by MQF to perform message validation, can be downloaded from MQF in the following format: XML, Rhapsody, or S3D. And the link is provided here to get to it to download the conformance profiles. Yeah, I'll read. We'll be showing you now the demo, and I have Mona Ayers here, who's a business analyst on my project and has worked over 25 years of information technology experience, has information technology experience, including technical project management, process engineering, systems integration, and software development and implementation. She will be showing you the demo as to how to use MQF tool to test an immunization message. Mm-hmm.
How many people have seen MQF? A couple? How many people have used it in your one? All right. Here, Tracy. Let's see. So I'm just going to do a quick demo here. Basically, on the left navigation panel, it kind of ties things together. In the top, we have release notes and all the specifications that we support. The next section links you directly out to all the implementation guides that we used in order to implement NMQF. We also have related websites, so the CDC's meaningful use, other things that we consider that might be important to you. Down below, we have our internal documentation, such as our user help documentation, our glossary. And then down below, we have the profiles. So basically what we're doing is we take the implementation guides, we work with folks like Rob, and we try to interpret those into machine-readable code. So, for example, if you look at the profile and what Ruchi had just mentioned, for example, we have an immunization profile. So what we do is we provide... in here, we provide the XML or the S3D files for people to put in their local Rhapsody or their local integration engines so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel and you can use all the work that's leverage all the work that's previously been done. We also provide supplemental specifications that tell you our interpretation of the guide. So we worked with this panel, and we basically looked at the vocabulary that needed to be validated, all of that, the fields and all of that, and they helped us in testing. So, and then I'll go back to the home. In the middle section is where you go through the tool for testing. So, for example, if I want to test a, and then the right navigation is dynamic. The instructions change as you flow through the system. So if I want to show you how to test an immunization message, we allow pulling sample messages that we've loaded into the system. We allow you to cut and paste your own message or upload from a file, from your own file. So I'm going to choose a sample message. And then we have all the messages here that you can test. So I'll test a VO4. And then we have three different types of samples. We actually have a valid message to show you, you know, you can load a valid message, you can load something that has invalid structure or something that has invalid vocabulary for testing, so you can look at a message. It's also nice with testing. You can take an HL7 message, copy it out, change some things, bring it back in, you can do some good testing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you an invalid structure so you can actually see the error files. So I just loaded the message. I'm going to submit it out so that it can validate. This is also a nice tool here. HL7 is hard to read. You know, I have a hard time looking at it. I don't know if I put something in the wrong place. So even if you don't use the tool for testing, it's a great tool to look at HL7. So what I do is you can show the message here. This is the message I loaded, or I can view it. And what I can do is once I pull up the message, I can print the entire message in like an Excel format. I can print just a segment. I can save it or I can email it to someone. So I'm going to look at the message header. So the nice thing here is it shows me for that message header the location, what the field is, and what the data is that I've populated. So if I put a name in a birthday field, I'm going to see it here. So it's really, to me, it's really nice for me to test and look at stuff and then output it to someone else. So then we come down here to the structural validation. You see we have one error. So I'm going to come up here and look at the error that I have. And basically what it's telling me is in the RxA segment, in field 6, there's a required field that's missing. So it's going to look at your structure, it's going to look at your field, it's going to look at your subcomponents and components, and it's going to give you all your errors. And also, I talked to someone this week, and they had a lot of errors, like 100 errors in one of their messages. So I said, the nice thing is, take one of our samples, cut it out, do one segment at a time. And that way you can, you know, you can walk through your message. Okay, so I'm going to go back, and I'm going to test an invalid vocabulary so you can see that error report. So if I come down here to invalid vocabulary, what it's telling me is it's going to pass structure. We do not execute, right now, we do not execute vocabulary validation. This button will not be enabled if you have errors. So we're working on streamlining and doing some enhancements here and maybe trying to execute them at the same time so you can get one report, but it's been problematic. So what it's doing now, when I click the yes button, it just linked out to the FinBad system. We don't duplicate vocabulary. How many people have used FinBads? Okay, a few. So what FinBads is where the public health, it's the public health solution for storing all of our vocabulary. SNOMED's there, LOINC is there, ICD-9, and then they create value sets for subsets for immunization or specific domains. So it just went out and validated against the guide. So then when I pull vocabulary up, you'll see here that in the RxA field 17, and it's manufacturers of vaccines, this valid is not valued. Either, let's see, it tells me either the So it's telling me the coding system or the code system or the data value is not valid. So what it is, so in this example, the code system's bad. It went out to FinBads. It took this code system. It took this value set. It couldn't find it. It didn't know if this is invalid or this is invalid. So it'll show you all of your vocabulary as well. And then again, you can print, you can email, you can save your error report. The other thing we're working on in the future is we are working on making those web services. So you can send your messages in, test it, and get a report back automatically through your system. You don't have to use our web, you know, interface. So that's future direction. So, I mean, that's kind of a quick overview. And then, like, I can link out to your immunization guide. So when I come here and a link on immunization, what it's going to show me is it's going to show me your two guides. It's going to show me the 231 and 251. I can open either one of them, look at them, and kind of go back and forth between to see what's going on. We do not link to ELR. ELR is HL7, and we link out to their, you know, we tell people to go to their website.
Intellectual property
issues.
So we have a link. Show them what we have.
Where? Here? Oh, okay. So if you try to go here, it's just going to tell you.
If you open it, it's going to show you a link.
It's just going to say it's, you know, this guide can be found on the HL7 website at this link.
It's a member issue.
Okay. And then for supported specifications, you know, we go through and show you everything we support. We support for ELR, immunization syndromic. We also support case notification and FLIP. And we're going to be adding, you know, we have a bunch of future things in the pipeline that people want to add for testing. So that's basically a quick spin of the system.
Do you have any questions?
Anybody have any questions?
Very nice demonstration. Frank Mayway from Pennsylvania and also Arab Board member of JFIT. Quick question. The 231 version also supports the 2.4.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't notice any drop-down selections on the 4.2.4. There are states that are using it. I was wondering how you handle that.
I'll answer that question.
Okay, thank you.
So, we think some people think of them as 2.4, but they are still based on 2.3.1. And what happened was back in whatever 2002 or whatever, 2.4 came along and it added some fields and selected some vocabulary. And what happened was the implementation guide pre-adopted. It adopted some of the conventions of 2.4. So in truth, they really are 2.3.1 messages that have pre-adopted pieces of 2.4. So this would cover that. If it's in that version 2.2 implementation guide, which is what you're thinking of as 2.4, then it's in here.
Okay, thank you.
It is confusing.
And the other thing I didn't mention is if you see that support button up in the top right corner, I mean, if you have questions, you need technical help, you think we've done something wrong, which is, you know, could be likely, you know, we've implemented the guide incorrectly, we've messed up some vocabulary, whatever, you know, email us. Or if you think of enhancements, you know, or things that are hard to use, you know, please feel free to use the support. It emails us, and then we have somebody that, you know, our support person monitors that and gets it to the right people, and that way we can make enhancements or, you know, any
other.
Very
nice. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes.
I have a question. If memory serves me right, in a meaningful use context, NIST also has online testing.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
How am I to understand the difference between those and how I think about those two different but somewhat similarly functioning sites?
Yeah, go ahead and answer it. And we have information to support that.
Yeah,
so if you need any additional information on that, we can send it to you by email. I don't have it in front of me, but we've already done the comparison. But go ahead if you want to say something
on it. We evaluated a bunch of different things. We've got, you know, we've got HL7, and then we've got NIST, and then we've got the implementation guides that are developed by CDC or HL7. And then below that, we have state implementable profiles. So we have, you know, we have a bunch of slices of things. From our understanding, the way we're looking at NIST is NIST was originally done not from a public health perspective, and it was not done based on the guides. It was more of a general HL7 view. Their vocabulary is done differently. They have STORM and XML files. It's not public health vocabulary. So we look at the what we've done, and also NIST, the NIST testing was done really from a validation of applications or tools. So, you know, are you certified? Are you a certified tool to be used for meaningful use? Not are you a certified message? So it's a little bit different slice of how NIST developed versus what we've done, and we're trying to integrate. We're working with NIST. I was just talking with them a few minutes before this meeting, you know, and the tools to make sure, you know, we're not reduplicating tools. We're leveraging each other and all of that. And we have developed a diagram of this and kind of what how things are laid out, which really hasn't been, I don't know if CDC has signed off on it to go out publicly yet. I don't think it has.
And that's why I was holding off for sending it as an offline kind of setup.
And it's not in this presentation because we, you know, CDC's been approving it along with some work groups, you know, ELR work group and different work groups validating our diagram to make sure it's accurate. And we also want to send it to NIST and have them approve our diagram to make sure we're not misstating, you know, their tool or how it should be used.
We've also, just to add on to what Mona just said, we've been working with them, and we're going to continue to work with them in more collaborative approach. And I can certainly share some information with you offline if you're interested to know more about it.
Okay.
Because we have done the initial work.
Okay.
And actually, I just met him before the session.
I understand, I understand the issues of approval cycle within CDC, but it also seems to me that just to cut down on some of the confusion,
right.
You know, there's a wide gap between completely posting all the approved stuff and saying absolutely nothing that it's even an issue on your website.
Right.
So it might be nice if in the short run you could get approval to at least even say, hey, we know there's this thing about this and we're working on it.
Have you been to the CDC Meaningful Use website, which is one of our links here?
Many, many times.
Okay, we are going to publish all of this there very soon. This is almost, I know.
I understand.
I know, I understand
your
point,
yeah. Very soon means in CDC parlance.
Right, right.
Very soon, 3 6 months from now.
Right,
so,
I agree.
But you can
just to acknowledge that,
yes.
That you know this
yes.
is an issue. You think we know that you know that. But we only know what we see.
I'm with
the
you.
Site.
Yeah,
yeah, and you're absolutely right. We're fully aware of it. Yeah, we're fully aware of it, and we know there are several tools, not just NIST. There are several tools out there. So we are working with each of those partners and trying to understand what they are providing and
right.
to make sure that we're not duplicating the effort.
That
yes.
Yes. Would be helpful to
absolutely.
Let us know that.
Right. Yeah. And one other clarification, the way we did, the way this has been done and the way we're trying to do within CDC is when we go and work on these, you know, like ELR, for example, when we implemented ELR, we took the guide, we interpreted it the way we thought. We came back with a list of questions to the ELR work group, you know, the national community, and we worked with them. And what happened was either we, A, had interpreted something incorrectly, B, there needed to be a change to the guide was done incorrectly, or there was some confusion. So there's a lot of back and forth that goes along with us implementing in here and refining. So, and NIST did not, I don't think NIST did that. They didn't work with the public health community to refine and go back and forth on their guide, you know, what they've implemented. So we've tried to leverage the whole community, and we've tried to work through Rob with immunization to make sure, you know, we were.
No, I
so that's kind of that's another difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Done,
yes.
But there are reality for certain parts of this community.
Right.
And certain processes.
Right.
Yeah. Provide me your name. I would like to talk to you further about that. And I have certainly got a lot of information to share about that.
I know him very well. So.
Okay. So if you can provide me the name later, we can kind of have that conversation
and we have a question
at a later time. So do we have any more questions?
Yep.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So what we do is we consider ourselves like the national. We're building off the implementation guide. What states, you know, have an option to do is they might have some local vocabulary, or there might be an optional field in the guide, and they want to make it required. And so a state will further refine their requirement on communicating with their partners. And it's been requested that we allow people to upload their state implementable profiles in here for their states to test. So we know that's a need. We have put it, you know, in our queue. The CDC is going to prioritize that work, so we are aware of it. But that's the further refinement that we at this time don't handle.
Well, that's
back to that
same
question.
That's
right after Noam's issues.
Yeah.
That way, okay?
Yeah. We don't have timelines on that.
Yeah.
This right this minute handles the meaningful use messages, as I understand it. And so I think that if ADT became one of the meaningful use messages, I think these guys would consider throwing it into the hopper. But
it sort of will for syndromic surveillance. Aren't
let me see, for syndromic surveillance is part of it.
Yes, it
is.
If it's part of
syndromic,
ADT messages there, and they have the state specific stuff, you can work them into it.
We basically provide a tool. So we implement what specification gets approved. So if it gets approved in future, we will support that.
What implementation guide are you using for those messages?
Well, we're using 231, we have a version variation.
Okay.
So but most states have state specific guides.
Right.
It's one of the great success stories of our community of practice is that people understand the importance of having this local implementation guide so that you can know what you're supposed to be doing. So,
And it's one of the barriers.
The variance is the barrior. Yes, you're right, Noam. But
I think
the
that's
fact
what
that it's easy to look at them, you can at least, that makes it easier.
Yeah, and I think one of the barriers you listed was that.
Yeah, syndromic surveillance has been coded. We just can't make it available through the front end until the guide is published. So we did it based on what was put out for public review and public comment, but those comments have come back, and as soon as they finalize those, then we'll make a few modifications and release it. So we're close on that.
We're looking at somewhere close to mid-September. That's a target date, but we'll see how that goes for syndromic surveillance.
Any other questions?
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, guys. We're going to run to the